Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The UN Security Council is about to involve itself in the Iranian crisis. Secretary General Kurt Waldheim describing the crisis as the worst threat to world peace since the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962 is calling for an urgent meeting of the council, doing so under the authority granted him by Article 99 of the UN Charter. That article has been invoked only once before by the late Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld in 1960 at the time of a crisis in the Congo. Richard C. Hottled reports.
The Security Council is to meet at Secretary General Waldheim's request. That is important. It is not Iran's request of 2 weeks ago with its bitter charge that the United States has provoked a war psychosis, nor is it a request which the United States was prepared to make last Saturday morning to get the Council once more and more emphatically to call for release of the American hostages. Waldheim's request provides a neutral heading for the debate, with neither Iran nor the United States set up as a target. The U.S. will concentrate on the hostages, asking the Council this time to adopt a formal resolution on their release. Since Waldheim calls the crisis a serious threat to international peace and security, the Council could start down the road toward sanctions against Iran. The timing of the meeting is not clear. If Iran asks for a delay of a day or two for a senior official to come from Tehran, that might well be granted. Otherwise, the Council will go ahead, possibly this afternoon, and let Iran's representatives here present their case if they wish. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
The Carter administration has warmly endorsed Waldheim's action. Until now, the U.S. government has opposed a Security Council meeting on Iran until the American hostages at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran are released, with a session on Iran's complaints against this country to be held later. The White House now hopes that the session called by Waldheim will produce a strong resolution urging that the hostages be set free. Waldheim's move has also been welcomed by the Iranian foreign ministry. But Ayatollah Khomeini, in a speech to Muslim Revolutionary Guards, said all Iranians should be given military training so that their country could confront what he called the world's biggest satanic power, the United States, with an army of 20 million. America is our enemy now, said Khomeini, and we should have everything mobilized against it. As for the hostages, they're now in their fourth week of captivity, and Randy Daniels reports there is still no sign of a breakthrough.
The Iranians are still looking for a sign of conciliation from the United States, preferably acceptance of the fact that the Shah may have violated Iranian laws and is liable to prosecution. This, Iranian officials insist, could get negotiations over the hostages underway and could help defuse the situation. Moderates in the ruling Revolutionary Council say Iran is willing to talk directly with the United States over procedure, but they are also holding fast to their demand that the Shah be extradited for trial. The students holding the hostages are more firm and direct in their demands. They still insist that the Shah be returned to Iran before the hostages are released. Foreign Minister Abul Hassan Banisadr had planned to leave today for the United Nations, but he has now postponed his trip for a week to allow him time to participate in the upcoming referendum on Iran's Islamic constitution. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Tehran.
Republican Congressman George Hansen of Idaho, who met this past weekend with some of the American hostages in Tehran, said this morning that Kurt Waldheim's call for an urgent Security Council meeting is a good idea.
I think that this type of action would certainly be helpful. I think we have to keep the attention on the fact that this is not a way to operate, that criminal action in terms of taking hostages and capturing embassies is not forgivable, not condonable. On the other hand, I guess we have to, if we're going to establish a dialogue, admit that we probably engaged in a little activity of our own that perhaps precipitated this, and I think maybe we ought to sit down and be doing more talking and less saber-rattling.
Hansen was interviewed on the CBS News broadcast Monday morning. The government of China this morning called for a quick and peaceful solution of the dispute between the U.S. and Iran. The foreign ministry in Peking, in its first formal comment on the dispute, said China is concerned about recent events in American-Iranian relations. The internal affairs of each country should be managed by its own people, the statement said, but it added that the principles guiding international relations and the accepted diplomatic immunities should always be accepted. Without saying it in so many words, Peking thus appears to be calling for release of the American hostages. Iran's rebellious Kurdish minority has proclaimed a 20-day ceasefire in its fight against the central government in Tehran and declares it will join government troops to resist any foreign attack. Authorities in Saudi Arabia this morning say that the Grand Mosque in Mecca is now back under full control. Michael Hall, reporting from Jeddah, has details.
The call to morning prayers was the only thing to break the silence in Mecca this morning, marking the first time in a week Islam's holiest city has not awakened to the sound of gunfire. Saudi security forces yesterday routed the last organized resistance by a group of about 200 fundamentalist Muslims who took over the holy mosque in the city last Tuesday. Today, security forces are continuing to comb the basement of the giant mosque complex to see if any remnants of the group are holed up inside. But the siege, which sent shockwaves around the Islamic world, is over. There are still no details on casualties, however, nor any indication of how many of the attackers are under arrest. Michael Hall for CBS News, Jeddah.
A Pakistani airliner flying pilgrims home from Mecca caught fire today soon after taking off from Jeddah. The plane exploded and crashed in mountainous country about 90 miles away, and airline officials report that all of the more than 150 people aboard are believed to have died. The officials don't rule out the possibility of sabotage, but airline engineers in Karachi, Pakistan, the flight's destination, think the fire and explosion were caused by a short circuit. South Korea today ended its official mourning period for the late President Park Chung-hee. Bruce Dunning in Tokyo has the story.
It is exactly a month since the dictatorial president was killed by the chief of his political police, the Korean CIA. The martial law command announced that curfew in major cities would be cut back from 11 p.m. to midnight, the curfew hour in effect for many years. But the command also announced that 96 human rights activists were arrested over the weekend for staging what the military called an illegal political meeting. About 1,000 people had gathered for a meeting to demand immediate revision of Park's authoritarian constitution and to call for immediate direct election of his successor. Riot police stormed the meeting hall, forcing everyone out. Witnesses said scores were beaten and hauled away in police vans. It was the harshest crackdown since Park's death on the campaign for human rights in Korea, and it was a sharp contrast to the spirit of reconciliation that the government had shown its opponents and critics immediately after the assassination. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The dollar reached its highest point in more than 2 years today on the Tokyo foreign exchange market, closing just a fraction under 250 yen. The dollar is also doing well in Western Europe. Gold rose slightly. It was fixed in London this morning at $393 an ounce. It's trading at around the same level in Zurich. The Carter administration's plan to save Chrysler from bankruptcy isn't out of the woods yet. Robert Marr of CBS radio affiliate WWJ in Detroit tells us about it.
Leaders of the United Auto Workers feel they may have to revive interest in a federal rescue plan for Chrysler Corporation this week. Following last week's testimony in which banking managers said loans will be hard to come by for Chrysler to generate the company's own $1.5 billion in private money to match a similar amount in government loan guarantees, some congressional observers feel the Chrysler aid momentum has dropped off. Therefore, the UAW has let it be known it's considering additional aid for the financially troubled automaker without renegotiating its contract that lets the number three auto company off the hook on $200 million that it would have paid had it been forced to follow patterns set at GM and Ford. Thus, the union is apparently considering offering Chrysler money through buying up stock that will be later offered to union members in an employee stock ownership plan. Rob Marr for CBS News, Detroit.
Rank-and-file public employees in Hawaii, on strike now for more than 5 weeks, are holding meetings today and tomorrow to discuss a proposed new contract with the state. It would give them a monthly wage increase of $100 this year and another $100 a month next year. Union leaders have recommended rejection of the contract. Today is the deadline set by Great Britain for agreement on a ceasefire in the Zimbabwe-Rhodesian seven-year-old guerrilla war. But as the peace talks go into another week in London, the outlook is not good. Patriotic Front leaders Joshua Nkomo and Robert Mugabe both say that they will not meet the deadline.
CBS News. At the United Nations, the United States urges a Security Council meeting without delay to call for release of the hostages. I'm Richard C. Hottlett reporting on the CBS Radio Network. This month's president of the Security Council, Ambassador Sergio Palacios of Bolivia, is consulting the 15 council members on how to proceed with Secretary General Waldheim's request for an urgent meeting on the Iranian crisis. The members must all agree on the timing and the conduct of the meeting before the public formal session convenes. The president this morning saw U.S. Ambassador Donald McHenry, who expressed Washington's desire for quick action as early as this afternoon, with the first order of business, a call for the release of the hostages. The United States will reportedly favor a resolution formally demanding that Iran free the 49 Americans and evacuate the embassy premises, and further demanding that the United States and Iran settle their differences. That could at least help reestablish official contact between Washington and Tehran. Palacios this morning also saw members of Iran's delegation in New York. It is not known what they told him about Iran's participation or its preference on when the council should meet. In Tehran today, Ayatollah Khomeini called for a nationwide mobilization against the United States. Khomeini calling on all Iranians to learn how to handle a weapon and saying he envisions an army 20 million strong within a few years. Said Khomeini, America is our enemy and we should have everything mobilized against it. The White House let it be known today that it does not think much of Idaho Congressman George Hansen's personal visit to Iran. Presidential News Secretary Jody Powell said the Carter administration opposes the Hansen mission and believes it may prolong the captivity of the 49 Americans at the embassy in Tehran. Hansen visited the embassy yesterday and spoke with some of the hostages. More news after this.
Deck the halls with clop, clop, fizz, fizz, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la.
This Christmas carol is dedicated to all you last-minute shoppers. You fought the crowds, you've eaten on the run, and now you're saying bah humbug to acid indigestion and an aching head. Well, take Alka-Seltzer, the sound of fast relief. Just read and follow label directions. Soon you'll be singing.
Oh, what a relief it is. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la.
Happy holidays from Alka-Seltzer.
Hi, this is Michael Landon. You know, my family is the most important part of my life. So family pictures mean a lot. That's why we get ours printed on Kodak paper. To me, Kodak says quality. You know, using Kodak film doesn't automatically get you Kodak paper. You've got to look for a store with a Kodak paper sign. Really, everybody does. That means me too. Look for the Kodak paper sign when you get your pictures developed. And tell them Michael sent you.
Just ask for Kodak paper for a good look.
At the Supreme Court today, the justices agreed to consider the constitutionality of the federal government's restrictions on the funding of abortions. A report from CBS News law correspondent Fred Graham.
At issue is the constitutionality of the so-called Hyde Amendment, named for Representative Henry J. Hyde, who perennially sponsors bills to limit the payment of Medicaid funds for abortions for poor women. The current Hyde Amendment permits Medicaid payments for abortions only when necessary to preserve a woman's life, or in cases of rape or incest. A lower court in Illinois declared this unconstitutional, saying it discriminated unfairly against poor women. That decision was appealed by the state of Illinois and by anti-abortion groups to the Supreme Court, which has been generally critical of legal efforts to limit women's rights to have abortions. In agreeing today to hear the appeal, the Supreme Court noted that it might not rule on the constitutional issue, but only on how Illinois had relied on the Hyde Amendment to restrict abortion funds for the poor. That would mean that the constitutionality of the controversial Hyde Amendment would have to be decided in some later case. Fred Graham, CBS News at the Supreme Court.
Also, the High Court upheld a California Supreme Court ruling that when police searched a teenager's possessions in the family home without a warrant, it was an illegal search, even though the youth's father had given his approval. Stocks after this.
America, the world is waiting.
Marketplaces, friendly places, a treasure chest of life.
Your world is waiting, and Visa is there.
You're traveling, you're moving, you're taking more from life.
The world is rich with choices, awaiting your pleasure.
Little shops along the seacoast.
A city's bright boutiques.
Country auctions filled with bargains and rare antiques.
Rainy afternoons in bookstores.
Flea markets in the sun. Exploring and browsing just for fun.
In 120 countries, at over 2.5 million shops, hotels, restaurants, and airlines, Visa is there.
That come alive spirit, come on and share it. It's a world made for living, doing, sharing, going, giving with Visa.
For traveling, shopping, and cash, Visa is the most widely recognized name in the world. Visa, we're keeping up with you.
On Wall Street, stocks have been moving sharply higher. At this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 13.14. Volume on the big board, a heavy 21,790,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands now at 824.91. Richard C. Hautalette, CBS News.